Hello, everybody. My name is Jim Tinsley, and I am a pastor for student ministries here on staff at Hope, and I do a variety of other things. And this man is
Bill Craig, pastor for adult discipleship here at Hope, and I like to call myself the chunky bald dude that preaches from time to time.
Okay. You are not. No one calls you a chunky bald.
People will now.
Yeah, oh, great. Right. I take it back.
Oh, goodness.
So trim, fit, ripped.
There you go.
Pastor
wow.
For adult discipleship.
Yeah, yes.
Done.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
Show us the biceps.
I'm Jill Miller, and I'm the worship ministry director here. And I'm trying to keep these guys in line. That's why I'm here, really.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah.
All right. So this is a learning lab, a grace learning lab. And what a grace learning lab is it's a series of podcasts and teachings. But really, it's centered around a couple of practices, an individual practice and a communal practice designed to help you take a step in learning how to grow in understanding grace and experiencing grace. We want to experience the grace of God, and so that's what we're doing. So podcast one was me and Pastor Stephen Kirk kind of taking a look at our need for grace from God's view. In this podcast, we're going to look at it and go, hey, why do humans need grace? Why do we need grace, and how does this kind of impact who we are? So maybe we've heard a ton of definitions of grace throughout our life. So let's play paper, rock, scissors and figure out which one of us is going to actually define grace. Actually, Jill, you just do it.
Okay.
I choose you, Jill.
Great. Thanks.
I choose you.
Grace, I think a lot of us grew up with grace equaling forgiveness, and that was kind of the end of it. But it is much bigger. It is forgiveness, includes that. Much bigger than that, though. And I think it is a definition I love is God's undeserved kindness to us. Mm-hmm. You can't earn it, don't deserve it, and yet he gives it freely as a gift. So, undeserved kindness.
I think there was a song in there.
Oh.
You can't.
There were some lyrics. Well,
okay.
Done.
Thank you.
I didn't do that on purpose.
So musical I am. When we talk about grace and this undeserved kindness, we want to anchor it in the Bible. We want to anchor it in Scripture in that. Can you walk us through, and again, there's going to be some overlap to what Pastor Stephen and I talked about, but can you walk through, like, why do we need grace according to the Bible? What's in there?
Yeah.
Show it off to us.
Yeah. I'd say, it's, you know, to really grasp the wonder of God's grace, there are four things we got to understand about ourselves according to God's word. One is that we were made in God's image, male and female, to reflect his image, his character, his likeness into the world. No other creature, no other part of creation was made in that way. So there's great honor and dignity in every human life, right? So that's one piece. The second piece is, even in this honored state of being made in the image of God, humanity actually rebelled against God, said, God, forget you. We want to be our own gods. As such, every human except one who has been born into this rebellious family with that family resemblance. I mean, we are born with this desire to be our own God and to reject God in his authority. And as such, we deserve God's wrath. Paul says it powerfully, I think, in Ephesians chapter 2, where he says, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. I mean, such a powerful, sobering picture of who we are in ourselves, born into the world, dead in sin, following the course of the world, following Satan, following the passions of our flesh, being by nature objects of the wrath of God. Wow. But it doesn't stop there. Paul continues in verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. So, and it goes on from there. But the third thing about ourselves, first, image of God. Second, rebels against God, deserving wrath. Third, even in that state of being rebels, deserving of God's wrath, we are deeply loved by God. Even when we were dead in sin, he loved us, which is amazing. And those three things are true of every human on the planet. Mm-hmm. Made in God's image, born into a sinful, rebellious family, and yet even in that rebellious state, deeply loved by God. The good news is there's also a fourth state that we can come to know by grace, which when we receive Jesus as Lord, we are cherished by God as children. There's a unique love that God has for his children who have received his son. And 1 John 3:1 talks about that, about how great is the love of God that he has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. And John 1 talking about those who received Jesus, to those who received him, God gave the right to become children of God. So there's this kind of idea out there in our world that all humans are children of God. We're all children of God. And I'm like, well, not exactly. I mean, we're all made by God, but not all are children in the sense that the scripture talks about it, where it's those who have received Jesus as Lord that he gives the right to become children of God. So there's this fourth unique love that God has for those, for his people. So understanding those four things about ourselves, I think, is really critical to this idea of receiving grace.
Yeah, to quickly sum up again then, you know, the three, I love the way you say this, these first three are true of every human, mm-hmm. every individual, right?
Yep.
We are made in the image of God. Mm-hmm. We have great worth, great value. That is true of every human.
Yep.
We are born into a sinful, rebellious family. When Pastor Stephen and I talked, he presented the holiness of God in that when we rebelled, we are separated from God. This is what sin does. It separates us. In the human terms, it's like, oh, well, I'm in the wrong family. I'm in, you know, I'm supposed to be in this family of God, but I'm actually in this family of over here. How does it, you know, connect? But we... You know, the third thing, true of all, is that we are loved by God. Even though we are in the wrong family, even though we're in that sinful state, we're loved by God. And this fourth one is for those of us who call Jesus Lord. Mm. We are cherished as children. We're adopted into his family.
Amazing.
Bill, I'm going to give you 30 seconds.
Okay.
And this is not in the notes.
This is dangerous.
It's dangerous because I'm only going to give you 30 seconds.
Okay.
Not in the notes. If someone's listening and they're like, what does it mean to be a child of God, to receive Jesus, to not be in the first three only, but to be part of the fourth?
Yeah.
How do you receive Jesus?
In 30 seconds.
Go. We don't have a long attention span.
Okay, all right.
Go.
I would say briefly, you acknowledge your need for grace, that you are indeed someone who is separated from God. You have sinned, and it's not just individual sins. You've lived a lifestyle of self at center, and you... But then you hear the good news that God has made grace available through faith in Jesus, and you turn from that self-centered life, and you say, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sin. I receive the gift of your forgiveness and I yield my life to you. Would you take your rightful place at the center of my life? It was a little more than 30 seconds.
It was like 42. Well done.
It was well done. It was well done. No, I'm giving it to you. I'm giving it to you.
It's great.
So here's what we want to do. We've just given you a quick definition of grace. We've given you this way to kind of look at these four ways to say, here's the picture of what it means, of why humans need grace. As a listener, we want to give you 30 seconds to just kind of respond internally to this, to pray, to ask the Holy Spirit in, and maybe just think about what was hard for you as you heard it? How did your spirit respond to it? You know, and there's a chance you're doing dishes while you're doing this, and you're like, man, my spirit didn't do jack. And that's fine. There's a chance that as you did this, that as you ask God to kind of say, hey, make something clear to me, that something comes to mind. And so we just want to give you a chance to come to, you know, for something to come to mind. So I'm going to give you 30 seconds to kind of process. All right. Well, with our remaining time, what we would like to do is we'd like to just engage in a discussion here, hopefully an interesting discussion about grace and about, our response to grace and the way we kind of respond to grace, whether it's us or whether it's people at large, in the hopes that as you listen, you can be both encouraged and perhaps challenged and perhaps just have some thoughts about why do we need grace. So that's the goal. That's the hope of the last part of the podcast. I think we can all agree that there are lots of types of people out in the world. You know, there is a type of person who, you know, probably not listening to this podcast, if we're honest, but who would be like, God does not exist, you know, that's it. But if you're saying, hey, a type of a person that is responding to God in some way and looking at grace, let's just say there's two. One, those who don't believe they need God's grace, or two, those who don't believe God's grace is available to them. So one, they don't believe they need it. Two, they believe I'm so terrible and useless and fractured or whatever that God can't possibly love me and have, you know, my grace isn't available to them. It seems like that's a decent place to start this conversation. Thoughts?
I'll go first. And maybe I will be in this camp all by myself. It's a tough one to admit. But I would say I find myself more in the first. But I do believe that I need God's grace. I know that at my core, but, I forget that I need it. The part that you read, Bill, about dead and children of wrath, it hurts to hear that. I don't like that because my
you don't like
I don't like
child of wrath.
I don't like that.
Church.
I know.
I didn't know that about you.
I know, right? But I am someone who has spent my entire life trying to be a rule follower, trying to do the right thing. I obeyed rules. I obeyed parents, teachers. I don't rock the boat even as an adult. That's not who I am. I try to do everything right. And so to hear scripture say you were dead and you were a child of wrath, I'm like, I don't know about that. That doesn't feel like me. And so sometimes with that kind of at my core to go, I'm not that bad. I'm not that bad. I don't think I'm awesome. So let's not get confused there. But I don't think so highly of myself that I don't need it. But I also don't always think, have a right view of my desperate need for grace, because I was a child of wrath. I love, though, you kept reading and it says, but God. So we were children of wrath. And then you have this picture of children of God and the two. And it's like, oh, that's a gift to be a child of God. But I would say more often than not, I find myself in the camp of people going, I love that grace is available, but sometimes I don't know that I need it as much as the next guy because I don't feel like I'm that bad, which feels really crummy to say.
I think it's like it's the struggle of every human, but you see it I see it a lot in teenagers and adolescents is this struggle of like it's a comparison struggle. Mm-hmm. Like, how can I be a child of wrath when I'm like, you know, I'm not taking a 2x4 to somebody's head. I'm better than that human, and I'm better than that human. And we have so much access to so much media and so many people that we're like, I'm better than that one. That it's like, how can I possibly need that, like, that person needs grace. And so we compare and we compare and we have so much access to people and to stupid things happen.
And it's icky. But that's icky. The beauty of the gospel. But
that's the beauty of the gospel.
Yeah.
Yes, you do need grace. And yes, you were a child of wrath. Own that and receive grace.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the cultural water that we swim in says, you are special just the way you are. You're wonderful. You're beautiful. Mm-hmm. Be who you were born to be. Let it come out. All those kinds of things. And so when that is the message we hear on repeat, of course, why wouldn't God love me? He loves, I'm basically a good person. Mm-hmm. Like you were saying, Jill, I've not done nearly the bad stuff that other people have done. And so I just don't need God's forgiveness, maybe a little touch up here and there. One of the ways I think about this, though, if I start to wander that direction is, okay, if every thought that I had yesterday was projected on a movie screen for all to see.
Who thinks this way?
It's like, oh, man. Okay. I need God's grace.
I'm out.
I need his transforming work in my life, and I need his forgiveness for my self-centeredness, my selfishness, my pride, my judgmentalism, all those things. But it's a real struggle. I heard someone say years ago in the lobby of Hope Church, like, I just don't, when I think of sin, I don't think I sin that much. I'm not that bad a person. The other thing I think of is Martin Luther, who said, if loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength is the greatest commandment, and loving others as we love ourselves is like it, if that's the greatest commandment, love God with everything and love people, what's the greatest sin? Not loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Not loving others as we love ourselves. Which one of us for 5 minutes of our life has loved God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, loved others as he has loved us? So when we get, like Stephen talked about in the first podcast, the holiness of God, the right picture of who he is, then we can see ourselves rightly in relationship to him, like Isaiah did when he was faced with the holiness of God in Isaiah 6, and he falls on his face and cries out, woe to me, I am unclean, I am not holy like God is. We are in desperate need of grace.
Yeah.
Well, I feel good, Bill. Thanks.
Good.
I think,
let's
Bill,
get to the second.
I think you might have just described, like, what hell would look like for me. Is just a movie of my thoughts.
Oh.
Gravy.
Yeah. None of us wants to see that, JT.
Yeah, no.
No.
No, not even me. Yeah. I was thinking, I had a thought in there, and then humor came into my head because that's how my brain works. But just, you know, students, as they're growing up, they deal with this a lot. You know, when we talk to a seventh grade student about something, you know, like, hey, dating, and, you know, and the possibility of, you know, of a struggle. And they're like, I don't have any struggle. I just love Jesus. I don't have a struggle. And it's like, yeah, well, you haven't really hit puberty, you know. And then you talk to the same student at age 18. And they're like, why is it a struggle? I want to love Jesus. I want to, like, and all of the sudden they're in the midst of this. Like, they once didn't think they even needed God's grace. And now they can't understand the second one. Like, I've made mistakes. How is God's grace available to me? Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's often this battle that we end up wrestling with grace all the time is, A struggle isn't a struggle, and then it becomes a struggle, and then we're like, well, where am I? And it's this marrying of, you know, you mentioned the cultural waters of you're enough, you know, mm-hmm. the sixth grade poster in your classroom, you're good mm-hmm. enough. Like, that's probably born out of a right understanding. You are created in the image of God. It's just devoid of the second one, which is, you chose yourself over God, and you chose a rebellion. And so without the two, it's a struggle. I probably, can I transition us?
Do it.
Yep.
Okay, I'll transition us. I probably, you know, go more towards those who don't believe God's grace is available to them. Although, if I can, you know, if I'm truly honest, I'm way better now than I was when I'm in my 20s. So, which is great. But I still, like, I'm your opposite in that, like, when I read it, I'm like, you know, oh, you're a child of wrath. I'm like, yeah, I am. Like, I'm kind of like all too aware of my unworthiness, as evidenced by, like, if Bill shows a movie of my brain, it's like, yeah, okay, I got it. I got it. Yeah. Next. Sweet. I got it. Like, this is terrible. And what I think what happens for me often is that when I'm sort of in that, I'm unworthy. I just forget that God loves me. I forget, you know, one and three, and for me, four. I forget that I'm in the image of God, that I have great worth. I forget that God loves me no matter what. Or I don't forget it. I know it. God loves me, and I'm like, yeah, but still, I failed, and I blah blah blah. And then I certainly forget that I'm adopted into His family. Like, I don't feel like that anymore. And so now I'm, you know, now I just struggle, and I tend to live out of fear. And then when I live out of fear, I tend to compare myself to others. And then when I compare myself and then I'm stuck, and I'm like in this little spiral. Mm-hmm. And I think as I've gotten older and I've walked with the Spirit longer, it's kind of that marrying of point two, if I can call it that, of I'm in this rebellious family, and point four, where it's like, actually, I'm not in this rebellious family. I'm in His family because I have received Him, and He has said, no, you're actually in my kingdom, in my family. That's where you are, and you're a child of mine, and I love you no matter what, even in your failing. But it's hard for me to believe sometimes. Like, I just wallow in that second point a lot, and I took too long, and I'm sorry, and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm.
I think you said something that's important to call out, and it's this time. It's time over years sometimes of walking with the Lord and growth that happens and transformation that happens. So if we've got two types of people, one type who doesn't believe they need God's grace, second type who doesn't believe God's grace is available to them, both of those people over time, it's happened with you, it's happened with me in different ways, coming from opposite ends kind of walking with Jesus, have been more and more transformed into people who know the richness and the beauty of his grace more and more. Know that we do need it and know that it is available.
Yeah.
And I think just consistent time with the Lord, I mean, the Spirit is doing this work in us and growing us. And it's key to not staying as those two types of people.
Well, right? And there's a, you know, this is why we're doing this learning lab. There's a practice to it. Yeah. That's why we're presenting you with skills and practices to do. Like, we have to step into learning how to do it. I've had to step into learning how to be aware. Oh my gosh, I'm in this thing, and all of a sudden I'm spiraling. Yep. I'm there.
Yep.
Oh, who am I? There is a fight for our identity. So if I've accepted Christ, I am his child. There's still, that's true. Mm-hmm. But there's still a fight for me to recognize what that means, and how to live out of that. That's the beauty of doing it with adolescents. With adults, it can sometimes be harder. It's like ingrained, or they don't think they need even to do that fight, but we have to fight for it. Fight maybe is the wrong word, but whatever. You
it's
get the
a journey,
picture.
Yeah. And it's a journey of God's kindness in our life to even take us from point A to point B, right?
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah. As you were talking, it reminded me of a phrase someone said that we do far too much listening to ourselves and far too little preaching to ourselves. That we need to preach the gospel to ourselves constantly, daily, which is both
yes.
pieces. The gospel isn't. Doesn't take away our unworthiness, right? That's our temptation, is to say, I sinned, but my sin's not that big a deal, and I'm basically a good person. And we want to, when someone's talking to us about their unworthiness, we want to talk them out of it.
Yeah.
You know, like, no, you're look how great you are, and look at all the kindness, and we try to build up the person's or our own sense of worthiness. That's not the gospel. The gospel is, actually, our hearts were turned inward, and even now, in our adopted state and the Holy Spirit living inside of us, we are not yet who we will be. I need God's grace today in this moment as much as any time in my life, as much as any moment of my life, because if he said, Bill, everything in your past is covered, and from now on, it's up to you.
Okay.
I'd be lost. I wouldn't make it out of the building, right? So I need God's grace as much as any time in my life. I need God's grace as much today as any person on the planet. So I'm in desperate need of his grace in this moment. And there is this river of the provision of God's grace that just keeps coming. Both of those two things together. My need for his grace, even now, not just in my past, not just in my worst moment, but in my best moments, my need for his grace, his covering, and this again, river of grace that he pours out on us. But maybe this will be my last thought. The Tim Keller quote, the gospel is this, he says, we are more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever dared believe. Yet at the very same time, we are more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ than we ever dared hope. That's the gospel.
Yeah.
And it, I love that idea of the marrying of those four. You can't, it's not just one. It's not just I'm made in God's image without, It's all four together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it in that fourth, you know, we invite everybody to really consider receiving mm-hmm. and yielding their life to Jesus. It's important. I think we've seen after we're going to close this up, unless you guys have any final thoughts. But I think we've learned one thing, Jill, specifically. You and I, what we bring to the table is just kind of ourselves. Uh-oh. What Bill brings to the table is himself and apparently a memory of every author known to humanity. How many people did you quote randomly in this thing?
I don't know.
Like you did. It's a gift.
Those weren't in his notes. I'm like, yeah, bonus, I'm a moron. Bill's like, I remember this quote from Tim Keller and C.S. Lewis
bonus. And
all of Isaiah for the love. All right.
Hey, I just want to say, because I just feel like it's on my heart, you know, grace is available in this moment. And earlier in the podcast, Bill, in 42 seconds,
well done, Bill,
walked us through. If you don't know what life as an adopted son and daughter is, you can know it right now. Scroll it back and listen to the 42-second explanation of how easy it is to just reach out and receive gospel grace today. It's available to you, and you can start walking in the joy and the life that it brings.
There's so, no life like it.
Yeah.
There's no
absolutely.
Life like it. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. Well, let's end. We're going to end by reading Ephesians 2:1-6 again, and then it says this, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved.
Ooh. Woo. Amen to that.
Amen. So thank you for joining us in this podcast and in this learning lab. Again, there will be more podcasts for this Grace Learning Lab to come. And take care.
See you.